Clarion Project, I know some of you look at that site. They've got something titled here, Jihadist Waco Narrowly Avoided in New Mexico. Most you heard about the imam's son who was running a camp in New Mexico that was training children to become terrorists. And the article goes on to say that the FBI has known about it for a while and was just letting it continue to go on. Okay? I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can do that yourselves. Nancy sent two interesting articles. Barcodes in Britain being used for homeless people. Y'all know when you see those little school, or not school, the store barcodes that are kind of like the black little squares? So what they do there, they give homeless people a card that has that square with their own account. So if you're walking by and instead of giving them money, you take out your smartphone, you scan their barcode, and then you go into your phone, you can put the amount of money you want to give to them that goes into their account. Interesting. Because they figure they can't handle cash, so it's better that it just goes into an account and then they can withdraw it when they need to use the money. So that's going on in Britain for the homeless people. The second one was rather interesting. The former president was in South Africa talking to the government of South Africa and the people there. And if you listen to his speech, a lot of it is the Western countries need to get out of this mindset that communism is bad and they need to adopt a form of that so they can help all these third world countries that they've stolen from for centuries. So you have him going around the world touting that as a former president of the United States. Could you only imagine if the election didn't change or the outcome was different than what it was? Because the other one is almost in the same camp as him. It's interesting that these new democratic socialists, whatever they want to call themselves, they don't want to debate anybody. That Ben Shapiro wanted to debate the New York congresswoman who's a socialist, even offered her $10,000 to give to her charity, and she told him that no, and they used it, or the press used it, as a Me Too movement. In other words, he was trying to embarrass her and trying to attack her. They don't want to talk about those issues. And so the press kind of bleeds into the same sob story. We don't want to talk. And when you listen to her, for a student who has a degree in economics, supposedly, she doesn't know a whole lot about economics. And when people interview her and ask her a question, she doesn't give a very good answer. So those are the news highlights as of right now. As far as Jan and I, we close on our home tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So this should be or could be our last Sunday here if everything goes, according to what Monday is. Yeah, the house now is boxes all over the place just waiting to get loaded up and for us to head out on Friday morning. That's the plan as of right now. So let's go to the word in prayer, and then we'll get started with Ezekiel chapter 13. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the visitors that are here today. Thank you for giving me one more opportunity to speak and to teach. Give me the words and the wisdom that you will have me to talk about. Make this a time of questions and answers if people have questions. For I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 13. We've been moving through the book for the past year, and we're just getting to chapter 13. That's not bad. I was trying to set Kurt's record for Luke. I thought it'd take 2-3 years. I'd pass that record with, because there's more chapters in Ezekiel. So we're just taking our time, going verse by verse through Ezekiel 13. We're not going to get through the whole thing today, but we'll read at least down to let's just read the whole chapter, and that way you kind of get the flavor for what's going on. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying, divination, who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but is not I who have spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord God. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying, peace, when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I will tear down the wall, which you plaster over with a whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation is laid bare, and when it falls, you will be consumed in the midst, and you will know that I am the Lord. Thus I will spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it over with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is gone and its plasterers are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesied to Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord God. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down the lies. So we not only have male false teachers, we have women false teachers going on here. Okay? Men and women who are false teachers. Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? For handfuls of barley and fragments of bread you have profaned me to my people to put to death some who should not die and to keep others alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bands by which you hunt lives. They're as birds, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let them go, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your hands to be hunted, and you will know that I am the Lord. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood, when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. Therefore, you, woman, will no longer see false visions or practice divination, and I will deliver my people out of your hand. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. So in this chapter, God is going to deal with the false teachers, men and women, who are provoking Israel to listen to things contrary to the word of God. You see the kind of parallel today? In the world we live in today, it's the same thing happening today that was going on back then. We have false teachers in the world today, evangelical leaders, who are saying things out of their heart, and not God's words. That's exactly what he's saying here. Charles Feinberg says in his book on the commentary of Ezekiel, this is one of the most influential chapters in the book as far as prophecy goes, because it addresses false teachers and false prophets that we should be aware of. Even in the times that we live today, we need to be careful because of those people who are out there that have turned from the Word of God and are following their own hearts. Be it no matter what it is, it can be the social gospel, making, I got to change my heart because I feel bad for those people. Yeah, you can feel bad for them, but you don't change God's word to address that. And you don't buy into the idea that everyone has to give something of their wealth to take care of those people. If you want to do that on your own, God gives you that right. Nowhere in Scripture does it say anyone is mandated to do those type of things. And we'll carry it one step further, like I've been talking about and like Kurt's been talking about. We get into this kingdom now thing where if we do the kingdom now, then the better things become, the sooner Christ will return. We got to have it perfect, like a utopia, before he'll come back. Nowhere in Scripture does it say any of that. And they skip out the book of Revelation. Well, that's just, we'll spiritualize that book. And will make it mean things that are already happened way in the past. So we need to work on changing society. We need to change the world. We need to go to this globalism, which we know in Scripture talks about a one-world government that eventually is going to be here. It's in that process today. You think him going around talking to countries like he is, the former president, you don't think you understand what he's promoting? And listen, it's not just the Democrats. The Republicans are just the same way. Both Bushes talked about a new world order. So I'm not picking on just the Democrats. Anyone opposed to this, God's word, and this is not a Bible, but it's on here. Anyone opposed to that, I'm not going to listen to or follow. And you shouldn't either. Now, he says you need to support your government. Yeah, you need your right to vote. And there may be people on either side that are true Christians, but listen, the vast majority of them all want globalism, some form of it. And it keeps moving that way. And now we have the church that which should be outspoken against that is buying into the lie. They're false teachers. And I've named names before. You know who they are. Things are not going to get better. It's going to keep progressing where we're going to be the minority, and it's your fault that things aren't changing quick enough here in America. It's your fault. Because you're white, because you're conservative, because you believe in God's word, you're the ones that are wrong, and everything else is right. And if you don't change and come over to this side, you're the stumbling blocks to bring this in. Well, pretty soon the stumbling blocks are going to be removed. And that's the rapture of the church. And they can do what they want to do after that. The stumbling blocks will be taken away. Yes. You know what? And the sad truth is, what she's saying is exactly true. That meeting of the 50, those 50 evangelical leaders that met in Wheaton back in the springtime, back in April, that we talked about, they're opposed to any conservative Christian because you don't buy into their agenda. If you're not buying into their agenda with what they want to promote, and they're in bed with the government, and I'll say that right here. The other people have said the same thing. They're in bed with the government, or the words that have been used, they're useful idiots. you're going to be the minority. And so when the rapture does come, if they're not believers, and I don't know their hearts, okay, I have a hard time, though, with what they're doing, not calling them for what they are, what the Bible would call them. Some are a little more gracious. I'm telling you, if they're promoting socialism or the mixing of Marxism and Christianity together, they're heretics, period. I'll just call it for what it is. That's the simple truth, okay? In Ezekiel's time, he was experiencing the same thing. He has spent 12 chapters telling the people, this is what's going to happen to you eventually. Now, Ezekiel doesn't know the date when that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And yet you've got people who are promoting positive things. Say, oh no, God's not going to do that to us. God loves Jerusalem and God loves his people. Why would he come and destroy his city? Kind of just sounds like today. It's the same thing today. Ezekiel's experiencing what we're seeing today. You can kind of put it in your mind as to what he's going through. And yet he weeps over his people because of what's going to happen, and yet they still don't want to listen. And the false teachers aren't just in Jerusalem. They're in Babylon talking. Because they're telling the people, remember in earlier chapters, oh, don't worry, you'll only be here a short time, then you go back and you can have your houses back. We already covered that. So he's fighting a front, and Jeremiah, who's in Jerusalem, he's fighting a front. You know, Daniel is writing from the same places at this time. He's writing because he was taken first as a captive there. Ezekiel went second. Jeremiah doesn't quite make it there. Okay? Yet he's fighting the false teachers right in his own territory. Just like some of us fight false teachers today in this country. And there's more and more of them all the time. Because of, oh, my heart doesn't quite feel right. See, you can't base theology on how your heart feels. You can't base doctrine on how your heart feels. That doesn't work that way. Theology and doctrine are just like this. They cut through all that, and either you are or you aren't. And when you begin to change things and you follow your heart or your emotions, that's when things get all confused and unravel, just like it is today. Just like it is today. And these people were doing the same thing. They were following their heart. Did they love their country? They probably did. Did they love their people? Yes, they did. But they weren't speaking God's truth. That's the difference. And they weren't called by God. Obviously, he says that. I did not call them to speak for me. They're just out there speaking, and people are listening to them. So, it's entitled, The Lord is Against False and Foolish Teachers in Ezekiel 13. During the time of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, there were many false teachers among the Jewish people. And I would put in there, women included. We have women today who are false teachers, who a lot of people follow, and they think whatever they tell them, that is doctrinally correct because we don't check for ourselves. For some reason, a generation has grown up to where they're illiterate to the Bible. Either they haven't been taught or they use the excuse, well, no one taught me. Read it for yourself. And just take it for what it tells you there. It's pretty simple. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't need a Greek degree. You don't need a Hebrew degree. You don't need those things. Just read it. It tells you the truth. It tells you what's going to happen. You know the answer of what's going to happen in the end. You know the answer. You already know it. You know how the end's going to turn out. You know that. Some of you may not like how the end is going to turn out, but it turns out according to the way God wants it to turn off. When I did the prophecy series, we titled it, For the Sake of My Holy Name. That's in Ezekiel. That was a verse that Jan found. We entitled that whole prophecy series that because everything that's happening is for his holy name. period. Everything in the book that he said is going to happen is going to happen, period. You can't change it. They can't change it. As much as they like to think they can change it, it's not going to change. The world's going to keep progressing as God allows it within, and I use this quote here, his time frame. Remember, everything is according to his time, not our time. Like Kurt said a couple weeks ago, the rapture could be 1,000 years from now, and it could be. Looking at everything right now, I think it's going to be quicker than that, but it could be. It could be. And you have these false teachers back here in Ezekiel's time, and we have them today doing the same exact thing. So they were in Jerusalem as well as Babylonia. They were in both places. Their message was one of optimism, positivism, and that God will deliver Jerusalem and Judah from the Babylonians, and those already in exile will come home soon. What would you rather hear? Let me ask you that question. I know what the answer should be. What would you rather hear? You'd rather hear the positive, optimistic sermon. That's what you'd want to hear. Your human nature would want to hear that. And that's what these guys today get people caught up into, because everything is positive. I'm sorry that when I go through Ezekiel, there's not too much positivism in there. Now, when you get to when we did last week, when I thought that was my last message here, that's not the end of the story, because when you read from chapters 36 on, things get really better. And we know in the end, in the millennium, Israel has a place, a very strong place in the millennium. So we know all that story, what's going to happen. But people today would rather hear this positive, this optimism, that we can change everything if you only get busy and do it. We could change education, we can change business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Positive. They don't want to come hear a Sunday school service like this. They don't want to hear a service by Kurt. They want to hear something that's positive, so when they leave there, they feel good. So that's what these people were doing. Their message was of optimism and positivism, in that God's going to spare them. That's what they were being told. God was going to spare them. The repetition of prophecy, when he uses here in 13, is meant to be sarcastic. They were always blabbing on and on with the perverted words from God. So he's using it in a sarcastic way here when you keep seeing that they're prophets or they're prophet this and they're no. They're just blabbing on and on and on. I'd like to make that connection to today too, but they do the same thing. Blab on and on and on and on. And people go and listen and everyone's hunky-dory with that and their own good. And the key one here is they prophesize out of their own heart. God did not call them. God did not give them a message to say. They are just speaking out of their own heart. Turn to Jeremiah 5. We're going to go through some verses in Jeremiah of 5, 30 through 31. Verse 30, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people, what? Love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? So this is Jeremiah telling you what the state of affairs is in Jerusalem at this time. Chapter 14 of Jeremiah. But ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them You will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. So it tells you what they're exactly saying. Contrary to what Ezekiel is teaching, they're teaching just the opposite. It's like today. The truth is being taught against the falsehood, and yet people buy into the falsehood and not the truth. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and a deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord God concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall meet their end. The people also to whom they are prophesying will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and there will be no one to bury them, neither them nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their own wickedness on them. I mean, he is telling you exactly what's going on. It's like the day we live in today, it's the same thing. They're not speaking God's words to you or from the Bible. If they are speaking it from the Bible, they're taking verses and just twisting them around to mean whatever they want them to mean. They don't look at the context. They don't look at the stuff back in history where they should be comparing notes and notes. They don't do that. They just, you know, it's like the Beatitudes. See, Jesus was a social Jesus because of the Beatitudes. So I don't want to follow the real Jesus. I want to follow this social Jesus. And people listen and go, like you out there, and go, oh, okay, that's okay. No one goes back and looks, you know, reads the scripture for themselves. They just accept because who the person is. I would hope here in the 3 years that I've taught or 4 years that you have gone back and read for yourself and not just assume I know everything up here because I don't. And you shouldn't base your doctrine or theology on me. It's on God's word. And too many people today, see, base their theology and their doctrine on the leaders they sit under. Oh, look at him. He's got this 20,000-member church. He's got to be doing what God wants him to do. Because, see, here's our human mind again. The bigger, the better. That's not true. Bigger, the better. He's got 20,000 people there. He must know God's will, so whatever he says is gospel. We're not going to go on. But you can look, I'll give you some verses to look up. Chapter 23, 9 through 40. It's the same kind of thing. Chapter 29, 8 through 10. And then verses 21 through 23. So this is what Jeremiah is up against. He's teaching one view, and you have these contrary views coming in from the false teachers or false prophets. And I will add this, they were not necessarily directly demonic. Okay, some say, the demons didn't. No, this was their own hearts. Okay, it was not necessarily directly demonic. Could be, but not directly. See, we're following human nature. So we're putting our trust in human nature like we do today when we follow evangelical leaders. We're following them. It's their human nature. They're not infallible. We have to be careful of what they do. What do? They follow their own desires, their own hopes, their own wisdom, their own needs. If you can't see a parallel between this and today, it's pretty clear. They follow their own desires, their own hopes, their own wisdom, and their own needs. They were misled by their own desires. They were not inspired of God. They were misled by their own desires. They were not inspired by God. I'll ask something today. Very similar to false teachers today within the revamped emergent church under the guise of the Gospel Coalition. So the emergent church has just been revamped or emerged again into the Gospel Coalition. If you look at the leaders on both sides of them, they're all like this. They're all intertwined together. So the and everyone know what emergent meant? When they merged the church, it's the traditional church with the postmodern church. We'll merge it together. So we change how we worship, how we sing, how we teach, etc. That's what that means. The Gospel Coalition, you know who's in charge of that. That's Tim Keller, who is a Marxist socialist person, believes in redistribution of wealth. So when you mix these two together, you have what we have today. That's why I said it's not a Democratic thing or it's not a Republican thing. It's people here, period, who are buying into that philosophy. Okay? So they're misled by their own desires and they weren't inspired of God. See 2 Peter 2. Some of you may know what this already says here. 2 Peter chapter 2. 1 through 2. I believe this is for not only for Peter's time, this is also for us today. It's telling us what's going to happen today. But false prophets also arose among the people. See what that key there is? Where do they come from? They come from within the church. They arose from the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you. He's talking to Christians here at a church. There's going to be false teachers coming out from among you as well as false prophets, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. If that is not what's happening today in our churches, I don't know what is. It fits it right to a T. They didn't come from outside. They came from inside. Pastors, elders. You look around today and look at the seminaries that are going down the path of not biblical truth. Just look at them today. Christian colleges. I use that word rather loosely now because it's not what it was 30, 40 years ago. Have changed because of this stuff right here, what Peter talked about for us today. Hear the word of the Lord. That is what these false teachers needed to hear. It's what they needed to hear. Stop listening to your own heart and start paying attention to the word of the Lord. Okay? That's what they should have been doing. Human nature is tough. You're sitting there and you're going to listen to Ezekiel, who has a very negative message. And over here, you got these false people talking a very positive message. Which one would you follow? Just think about that in your mind. Put yourself back in Jerusalem. You're living there. Jeremiah is teaching one thing. They're teaching another thing. Who are you going to listen to? Why do you think people get so sucked into the new thing going on today? It's because it is positive stuff. Oh, this has got to be true because look what all this does and says. I got to follow this. If we just look at God's word today, we know who to follow. It's right here. Not some guy who sits up on a pulpit, right here. In verses 3 through 7, the Lord is saying in those four verses that he did not send these false prophets. Okay, he didn't send them. He also says, we're going to close in about 4 minutes, not only were they false, the Lord also says they were also foolish. Okay, they were also foolish. Why were they foolish? Foolish because they regarded what came from their own heart and their own spirit to be more important than what God has said. That's why they were foolish. Okay? That's why they were foolish. It's interesting, when you look at the Hebrew word, it's nabal for foolish, it implies more than our concept of stupidity. It encompasses spiritual and moral insensitivity contrary to the nature of a wise man. That's by Alexander. It's interesting. We see an English word, it just seems to mean one thing. Okay, they're foolish, they were stupid. Here, that Hebrew word, though, means they encompasses a spiritual and a moral insensitivity. They could care less about that stuff. They were insensitive to it. These prophets, whether in good faith but self-deluded, or in bad faith and deliberately deceiving, have professed to speak the mind of God. I don't know. Maybe they believed what they were saying. That being good faith, but self-deluded, or in bad faith, they were deliberately deceiving the people. When in reality, no spirit other than their own moved them. God did not move them, it was their own spirit that moved them. Their own spirit that moved them. Their message was not based on a true relationship with God. In that regard, they had seen nothing. They didn't have a relationship with God. God didn't show them anything. Everything they were talking about was coming from their own feelings. It's like the church today. You have to experience this. And everyone's experience is going to be what? Different. It's going to be subjective. Not objective, but subjective. So you can't tell me mine was right or wrong. And that's what we have going on today, and more than just the church and society as a whole. So they had no relationship with God at all whatsoever. Their message followed their own spirit, not God's Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say they were likened to foxes, crafty, mischievous, and destructive. And you can read about them in Matthew 7:15 and Acts 20 through 29. Feinberg probably covers about two paragraphs of the foxes that they were like. Crafty, mischievous, and destructive. And we're going to close here in verse 5. In verse 5, these self-proclaimed prophets lacked courage. They did not go and fill the gaps in the wall. That's where it talked about the breach. Okay. Nor did they have the courage to stand and strengthen Israel in the time of crisis. If you look at Ezekiel 22:30, you don't have to do it right now, but Ezekiel 22:30, he talks about those who encourage the people to repent and turn to the Lord are called the restorers of the breach. So it was like a symbolism for the wall again. They went in and they stuck to God's word, and they were the breachers. They were the ones that were going to plug the hole or attempt to plug the hole. And that's the picture that we see here in verse 5. So these self-proclaimed prophets, they don't want to do that. I guess you could say they lacked the courage and the guts not to want to do that. And they didn't have the courage to do that. The wall represents the moral and spiritual defense of the people. When they should have been talking truth, they were speaking lies. The wall represents the moral and spiritual defense of the people. Any questions? Kind of quiet today. It's an interesting chapter to read. It's a key chapter to understand not only back then, but what's going on today too, because you can see the parallelism really easy with what's being taught today with what was taught back then. It's the same exact thing. And our human nature, what's that?
The same thing works. Human nature hasn't changed.
Yep. And you're always, your nature's always going to want to gravitate towards something positive. To me, a sign of a leader wasn't how positive it was, how they dealt with adversity. That's a sign of a leader. How they deal with adversity. How they deal when things don't go the way they should be going. And yet we've twisted that and we made it just the opposite. Oh, don't worry about that stuff. Everything's going to be positive from now on. And we have church leaders who promote that, who teach it throughout this country. Being used by people, either they, like here it said, either they don't know it or they're being deceived. I think they know what they're doing. They're too educated not to know what they're doing. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word, and sometimes I wish I had more positive things to say and to encourage. But the positive thing is that we know that you're with us. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor here who teaches your word, who doesn't deviate from that, who stays right on track. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray for all of us here that we'll continue to serve you, to discern what's happening around us, but not to be afraid, not to lose hope, because we still hold on to that blessed hope that one day you're coming to take us home. Just be with us now as we go into this time of a fellowship and visiting. Be with Kurt as he brings us the morning message. Help us now to clear all our thoughts and get ready for that. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.